Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to present some of the work that we've done in California around reducing mental health discrimination, as well as suicide prevention. I wanted to start off this presentation with just some background on who we are and some of the work that we've done. Since 2011, SoulSkin has served as a consultant to Runyon Saltzman Einhorn RSE on a statewide social marketing contract with California's Mental Health Services Authority. We created a mental health awareness campaign. For our work specifically was aimed at the Asian Pacific Islander audience as part of a statewide mental health movement that RSE created called Each Mind Matters, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that. I actually have a couple of our colleagues in this room today, Norma, Nicole, and Mariana, as part of the RSE team. Background on Cal Mesa. Cal Mesa is funded through a 2004 voter-approved tax. And what this tax has enabled us to do is through this 1% tax on families' incomes of more than $1 million, that goes directly toward funding mental health programs. Those monies go toward the counties, and within the counties, there's a joint partnership agreement where funds within that allotted voter-approved tax is then distributed to Cal Mesa to work on the work around mental health. It includes these pillars here, suicide prevention, stigma and discrimination reduction, as well as student mental health. And my colleague will correct me if I've described any of this inaccurately, but I'm getting a thumbs up, so that's a good sign. Each Mind Matters is a California mental health movement, and you'll see some of us with these green ribbons, and this is something we're really proud of, and we've been able to inspire millions of Californians to show their support for mental health awareness through this lime green color, and I have some of these ribbons up here if any of you would like to go, you know, to tour around Chicago showing your California Each Mind Matters support. But we have millions of individuals and thousands of organizations throughout the state working to advocate for mental health. And this diagram breaks down what we've identified as our wellness areas. We've targeted diverse communities in our statewide campaign, as well as coupling this with healthcare systems, schools, workplace, to ensure our campaign reaches all segments of the ecosystem. And what we've learned is that our efforts are working. We're making an impact. As you'll see here, more than nearly 1.5 million Californians are willing to socialize, live next door to, or work with people who have mental health challenges. I actually have another statistic here. What we've also learned is that within the first year, more Californians became more aware of mental health, mental illness, suicide prevention. We're also building momentum. 3.8 million Californians, or about 13% of the Californians surveyed, saw someone wearing this green ribbon or have been touched by it and have sparked conversations. And we're seeing more support. Approximately 600,000 additional Californians, which is an increase of 2% year over year, provided emotional support to someone with a mental health challenge. So we're very proud of the work that we've done over the course of the last 3 years. Today's objective, the background that I provided you was more of a high level overview of the overall global statewide campaign. Today's discussion is going to be around specifically some of the work that we've done for the API communities. So today's objective is to identify, our work has been to identify and educate underserved Asian audiences in California in an effort to reduce mental health stigma and discrimination. And we worked with key stakeholders in California to identify who these underserved Asian audiences were 3 years ago, and that's really based on the access. What research has told us in terms of the Asian audiences that lack access to mental health services, as well as the populations that have not been served with the adequate mental health tools. And as a result, we've identified the Hmong, Cambodian, and the Laotian communities in California. Our strategy with reaching these communities through channels that are familiar to them. This included maximizing grassroots outreach efforts, collaborating with community-based organizations, because we realized that these communities rely on their local CBOs, and partnering with in-language media, because oftentimes these communities are still relying on in-language media that they're most comfortable with instead of mainstream. What we had to understand, and what you'll see in some of these slides, is really understanding who the Hmong, Lao, and Cambodian communities are, understanding the cultural nuances, because that enables us to reach them more effectively. And some of the cultural nuances that I'll share with you today, there are many, but some of the ones that that helped shape our campaign is understanding that these three communities have similarities, but they're very different audiences. So it wasn't just, we didn't take one approach to API. What we've done is, there were three mini campaigns under the entire API umbrella. So that's something that we were very cognizant of in the development of our campaign. And we also had to understand that spiritual, ritual, and cultural beliefs played a key role in shaping and educating these communities about mental health conditions and suicide prevention. This topic is very different for these three cultures. We also knew that we could not go into these communities and expect them to embrace this topic without properly stipending and demonstrating a gratitude or gesture for the community-based organizations, as well as the media outlets that were partnering with us to do this work. And we also learned that in working with these communities, or we know that working with these communities, you want to report back. And so as you go into these different communities, what we've often heard in our work prior to this work is that these communities feel that they're programs take from them and don't necessarily report back or go back to them with I responded to your survey, what does this mean, or I've looked at your video, what does this mean. So being able to report back and having this relationship with the community. And that goes back to the building trust and rapport with cultural brokers. Some additional nuances, which may be similar in other communities, is that face-to-face meetings are still very important in working with these communities. What we know is that there's still more outreach to be done. And so I will share with you what we have identified as our community-based approach, which is one element of our campaign. So through grassroots public relations outreach, we targeted the adult populations, because we realized that the adult populations is the population within these communities that still rely on in-language, that still needed to overcome this hurdle of understanding what mental illness really is, as we define it. And we believe that through our, and I'll speak to this a little bit later, is we had a pre-campaign survey, and what it told us is we surveyed the three populations in three of the largest cities in California, and what we found is that educating this population about what mental health is was really what the key barrier threshold that we had to get across before we can do any of our outreach efforts. So based on that, we designed this campaign, and we implemented this campaign across the state through building partnerships within community-based organizations and media outlets to partner with us, because they are the gatekeepers and cultural brokers that will allow us to make that change. We also created culturally appropriate tools, And this is in the form of videos and stories relevant to the audience. We understood that within the Hmong and Mian culture, storytelling is a very, it's a form for the elders and, to relate and to educate the younger population. And so we use that concept to have students, high school students across the state, build and create their stories and through the elder's voice. And that created this dialogue with the younger population as well as the older population to start talking about mental health. We also developed a framework that enabled local county health departments to implement outreach efforts beyond some of the work that we're doing with Cal Mesa. So these tools and the videos that we created in language and with people and with Hmong, Cambodian, Mian and Lao people with lived experience, we were able to create these tools that were sustainable, that our local health departments and local counties can use time and time again. Now I'm going to go into just a little bit about the communities that we worked with. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Hmong, Lao, and Cambodian communities. I see some nodding. So there appears to be some knowledge around them, so I'll kind of go through these briefly. But the Hmong community, which is a community that I'm from, I speak Hmong fluently. I grew up in a Hmong household, are originally from the mountainous regions of China, but the Hmong community has migrated to Laos, Vietnam, and Thailand around the 18th century. And you'll see this, I mean, these, you'll see their cultural clothing is very colorful. This is something that they would wear during the their New Year. The Hmong community in the United States really still maintain and hold their language and customs and way of life, particularly in California, where we do have a very large Hmong population. And here's just some statistics around it. So there's about 90, and this is based on a 2010, from 2010, so it's definitely have gone up since then. But in California, you'll see that Fresno and Sacramento have the largest Hmong population. And California as a state houses the most number of Hmong. So mental health in the Hmong community, there really isn't a concept of mental health. And this is a really neat tool that our team was able to develop is we surveyed the word mental health, mental illness, depression, PTSD. And we worked with key stakeholders throughout the state in different regions to translate these terms culturally so they're not stigmatizing, and we've created a vocabulary matrix that we were then able to distribute within Sac County, Fresno, Los Angeles, and make available to all of the counties throughout the state to create a uniform definition of what mental health is. We're pretty proud of that work because this is like decades, generations of not having a term for mental health that we were able to help create. And we really encouraged with our community-based organizations as well as media outlets to stay away from using what the culture refers to as mental health. So mental health, depression, PTSD, all of that was identified and translated to as crazy. And we were able to work with our interpreters in the community to create terms that no longer incorporates that in the language. There's still a ton of work to be done, but we're pretty happy that our community-based organizations and our influencers are able to adopt terms that do not describe anyone with mental health conditions as crazy. In the culture, stress, depression, any mental illness is really described by the culture as being caused by a lost soul, because this is the Hmong community is a very spiritual community, and if you suffer from any sort of mental health condition, it really is described or interpreted as something with your soul, with your being, with karma. Something has happened to you. And it was really our job to educate the community that that may not be the case. Not that it's not the case, and we were very, and in all of these communities, and I'll go quicker because some of this overlaps in the future slides, but we worked, our team we're very cognizant to not go into these communities and say, no, your spiritual beliefs are wrong, but rather educating and offering an alternative. You know, perhaps, you know, you've gone to see your spiritual leader and you're still suffering from these types of mental health conditions as an alternative. So that was really what our campaign approach was around. And then this is just another nuance that mental illness are thought to be genetics. So other families, members may be impacted with it as well. And so these are all of the stereotypes that we, you know, a couple of them that we work to mitigate in our outreach. Who are the Laotian? The Lao is another Asian subset population. The Lao, similar to the Hmong, really came to the U.S. as refugees post-Vietnam War. They have their own language, their own country. The Lao population in the United States most heavily resides in California with San Francisco, followed by Sacramento and Los Angeles. So a lot of our outreach efforts were in these specific cities. And similar to the Hmong population, because for some of you folks who are familiar with the culture, you'll know that a large Hmong population actually live in the mountains of Laos. So there is this similarity, but there's this strife, a cultural strife within the Hmong and the Lao communities so we couldn't hold any of our community-based, we could not hold any of our community-based organizations together because we were cognizant of that historical strife back in their country. The largest mental health condition, or the primary mental health condition that impacts the Lao community is PTSD, which is similar to what you'll see with the Cambodian community, and that really has to do with the war that were in those countries. The Cambodians speak a language, Khmer, and they're one of the newest ethnic groups that's migrated here into the U.S. The Cambodians are also refugees based on the war and the genocide that happened in Cambodia. So most of the Cambodians here in the United States today are as a result of the war. You'll see on this slide is that California also hosts the largest Cambodian community outside of Cambodia, with Los Angeles, Long Beach, and San Diego being the cities most populated. So a lot of our efforts really were in Southern California to really work with the Cambodian communities and key Cambodian leaders that have been able to make a difference, particularly because there was a study, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but the Cambodian community is the largest Asian community to suffer from PTSD, and I want to say it's like 43% of Cambodians in California today, and that had to do with the killing fields and the war that they've escaped. That's 41%. Wow, I was very close. But I'm going to speed through some of these slides because I want to talk a little bit about some of the outcomes and lessons learned that we were able to gather. Our evaluation, we work closely with the University of California, Davis, the Center for Reducing Disparities, to develop a survey tool. And this survey tool really allowed us to shape our campaign. We had 19 questions that we went into these communities over the course of about 3 months, and were able to gather information from the direct population with one-on-one style surveys. And what we learned 4 years, three and a half, so it's been more than 3 years ago, is that education was big. The communities are unaware of what mental health is. They don't know anything about it. They're scared. They don't want to talk about it. We realized that the stigma was very high, and a lot of it had to do with this education level. We then designed our campaign through developing culturally relevant tool, our community-based approach, and media partnerships. And 3 years later, we went back into these exact same communities. They weren't the exact same respondents. That's something that we were unable to track. But what we were able to track is we went back to the same organizations who recruited participants. And our survey results came back where more than half have seen our interventions, were exposed to our interventions. And based on that, a growing number, it was close to half, and I'm sorry, I do have the survey, so if anyone's interested in our post-campaign survey results, I can get that email to you. But what we saw is that based on those that were exposed to our intervention, more than half of them, the responses to stigmatizing questions about mental health has shifted and changed significantly. And that really reinforced that, you know, our work is making an impact, and we continue to hope to be able to reach and make an impact in these communities. So the results, over the last 3 years, we've reached more than 600,000 viewers through some of our in-language PSA spots, and these results were about a year ago, so a lot of these numbers have increased. We met with more than 2,000 people and hosted 12 mental health community forums across the state. In just two viewing sessions, more than 500 community members viewed our in-language Lao and Cambodian videos. We recruited about 50 middle and high school students in Fresno and Sacramento to participate in our storytelling campaign that resulted in 9 stories that are culturally appropriate, told from the students' voices, that's been translated, and Riverside County today is working to convert those into audio videos. So it demonstrates this need for these tools and the need to want to transadapt them to the audiences throughout all of the counties. And like I said, you know, our preliminary results have shown that participants with direct exposure to our campaign tools they've become more knowledgeable and have been able to talk about it with their peers. I kind of highlighted a lot of this already, and I have 2 minutes left, so I am available today the rest of after the session for questions, but through our approach, we were able to create these tools and create this is something that we're very proud of, is being able to create sustainable tools that can be modified, that can continue to live beyond the campaign that we created, beyond the 3 years that we worked on this. And key components of it included really involving the consumers, really involving folks with lived experiences, and the community members that look and are trustworthy and speak the language. You know, we did not bring in outsiders to these communities. We found informants within these communities to help us educate their own community through crafting their messages and giving them a better understanding. And in conclusion, you know, for any of you, if you continue or if you want to do this work, and better understand these communities, is we found it most effective is to engage with your community partners and these community partners from planning through execution, because they're going to be your biggest champion, and they'll be your gatekeeper, and they'll be the ones that will be working with the direct consumer population. So engaging them throughout the process, engaging stakeholders, and that's what we did. Was we started this campaign with not an agency approach, like this is what we think we need to do. We initiated this campaign with going to key stakeholders, cultural brokers in the community, to design a very targeted campaign. And we developed tools and resources with the community in mind. We didn't just literally make translations of materials. They were all customized to the target population. And as a result, we are happy that we were able to develop these sustainable tools. So with that, I don't know, do I have time for questions? Maybe. Okay.
What were the thematics in acculturation of these communities and links to mental health care?
Can you repeat your question one more time? I'm sorry.
Well, with the communities that were heavily practiced their cultural,
the spiritual,
their more of the spiritual and more of their cultural ways of life. What were some of the maybe I would say some of the themes? Their own adaptation with American culture, and their likelihood to reach or access mental health care?
Our campaign didn't directly wasn't directly designed around access, but I'll answer the initial part of this campaign is we thought that it was going to be very difficult to go into these communities and have the spiritual leaders adopt our messaging and our and how we identify mental illness, because it goes against what some of these some of the cultural beliefs are. What we found is that was actually completely wrong. Spiritual leaders were very supportive and embraced our information and what we wanted to convey to the audience, because this is why we partnered with spiritual temples, with spiritual leaders, and what they understood is that when they could not heal their community member, it was something beyond what the spiritual leader was able to do, and that's when they were able to say, okay, well, here's what it may be. You may be suffering from mental illness. You may be suffering from PTSD, and it was more of a collaborative approach, and from there, all of our community forums, we ensure that there was an in-language mental health specialist, someone from the county, someone from a key stakeholder in the community that could guide them and provide them with access post any of our forums in case there were breakdowns. And there were actually a couple of breakdowns, particularly from the Cambodian communities, when they watched our videos and when they learned more about it, because they realized that the whole spiritual element, the cultural element, that wasn't working for them. And for 30 years, they've been suffering from something that their spiritual leader wasn't able to heal. So it was embraced, and we were shocked at how well it was embraced and adopted in these communities. I don't know if that answered your question. Thank you. I think you have... Right, definitely.
And so what we tried to do is, the other thing is, because we don't have that many agents and people don't know the difference between the agents, we thought that maybe the mental health community needs to know more about this. And so we did get a Dr. Burbine from Oregon, who is coming next month to do a grand round at Abramal Hospital System. But really have not addressed it in the community, so I'm very interested in your campaign.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
How to get that to them.
Okay.
As well as we're going to invite some minority health administrators to try to get some grant money to help implement.
I don't have if I can take your contact information down, I will send you a USB that has all of the materials that we've created for the Cambodian community, and that might be helpful as a good start.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. That we did not, and we did not identify that it was a self-identified survey. So no, that was something that we didn't identify in our survey. But what we do know is that the individuals who took our survey through our meetings and one-on-one interviews with them, there were individuals with lived experience who have a mental health condition, but that just wasn't documented. It wasn't something that was self-reported in our results, so we couldn't track that. Thank you.